Just what I see when I look out, the face of God. Well, good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Welcome to Palm Sunday, a day that refers to the story of Jesus' triumphant entry into the city of Jerusalem, and it begins Holy Week leading up to Easter. It's called Palm Sunday because the crowds that greeted Jesus were all waving palms, and here we have actual footage of that moment. And these are the same crowds who would be calling for his death a few days later. Holy Week is known in some Christian circles as the week that changed the world. And there's some question as to whether this story is true or not. Is it an actual narrative? A true historical account? You know, did a man named Jesus physically rise from the dead after being put to death and resurrecting 3 days later? Or is it a legend of some kind that grew up around his ministry, a mythological fable that also weaves its way throughout many different religious traditions and cultures? Is it a metaphysical story that mirrors our own spiritual journey? Some of the above, all of the above, none of the above? Well, here's what I've come to believe. It really doesn't matter. That's the sermon for today. Whether it's an accurate account of true events or whether the story is mythical, the importance of it is the metaphysical truth that underlies the story. You see, and that truth can transform our lives as we look within the elements contained in this story and get an understanding of what can help us to change our world, to overcome whatever challenges we may be facing. And so my talk title is Rise Up and Walk. And as you might guess, we're going to be talking about movement, rising up, walking through the issues, the challenges of our lives. So the last 2 weeks, we've been hearing from Dr. Gary about hell in the hallway, referring to the saying that when one door closes, another one opens, but it can be hell in that hallway while we're waiting, as we try to either beat on the door that just closed or kick in the one that's not open yet. And that in-between time, when we've had some kind of a loss or a crisis in our lives, can be hellish. It can. And yet, it is a time that is ripe for transformation, ripe for it. And we can compare it to the Easter story of being in the tomb, those 3 days in the tomb. As the story goes, Jesus was crucified, laid to rest in a sealed tomb, and resurrected 3 days later. And we see this story, this motif of this story, played out in many different guises in Scripture. Jonah spends 3 days in the belly of a whale. Hate it when that happens. Noah and his family spent 40 days, 40 nights on the ark. You know, the Israelites wandered 40 years in the wilderness when they left Egypt, captivity in Egypt, and trying to get to the promised land. The commonality in all of these stories is that upon leaving the tomb or the ark or the wilderness, the people involved had overcome a huge challenge and had transformed in some way so that they were never to return to what they once were. And that's what happens. Cecil B. DeMille tells a story called Transformation to New Life about a young boy and his grandfather who go fishing one afternoon in a rowboat. And the boy becomes restless and he starts watching these insects on the surface of the water flying around together, playing together. When one of them crawls up on the oar, attaches itself by its talons, and promptly died. And 3 hours later, they're still fishing. The boy looked down and he cried out, and he and his grandfather watched in amazement as they saw something emerging from the dried shell that had once contained the insect. First tentacles, then a head, then moist wings, until finally a beautiful dragonfly sat before them. And it moved its wings slowly at first, but then it began flying around and hovering over the water where the other insects were still playing. And they didn't seem to recognize it anymore. I love this story. And when the boy nudged the dried out shell, he found it was an empty tomb. And so when the time is right, we rise up, we step out of the wilderness experience, and we walk. We walk. We walk out of that hallway. But to get there, we have to shift our focus from the crucifixion we've experienced. You see? If we don't do that, we can miss the resurrection. Do you know what I'm talking about here? Yes. And so we want to ask ourselves, am I looking at the empty shell so intently that I'm missing the dragonfly? When a baby bird is hatched, we don't, you know, grieve over the shell. We recognize that it's a progression of life. It's a progression of life. And as we begin to shift our viewpoint, we can start to see the beginnings and the endings in our life in the same way. It's a progression. As Richard Bach says, what the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the master calls what? A butterfly. But of course, a butterfly's transformation doesn't happen just like that. The caterpillar is cocooned within the chrysalis for a time before it emerges as a butterfly. It takes time. You can't hurry that process. And during that time, there's a whole lot going on. The caterpillar needs to change from a worm dissolving first into this golden goo. That's the scientific term for it. Golden goo. And then the imaginal cells produced from this goo need to reform into the butterfly. And in the same way, there's a process that we go through in that hallway experience. And we need to honor the process. If you are in the golden goo right now, you need to honor that process. As Maya Angelou said, we delight in the beauty of the butterfly, but rarely admit the changes it has gone through to achieve that beauty. You know? This is the heroic journey that we're all on. We're all on this journey together. And you've heard from Gary's talks in the last couple of weeks that the journey out of the hallway entails changing our inner state. You see, that's how it happens. That's how transformation happens. We have to shift into being ready to enter the promised land. You know, Jonah needed some serious attitude changes that had to happen before he got ejected from that whale, if you remember. It's called going through the goo. So think of those imaginal cells as our divine potential. Can you go there? Really, imagine that. And that these times of challenge can help us to actualize that potential. This is the key. This is the key to the transformation. And a few things happen during Holy Week between the triumphant entry into Jerusalem and the emergence from the tomb. The disciples gather with Jesus for the Last Supper, and he tells Judas to go and do what he's going to do, and off he goes. Now just imagine that moment for Jesus. He seems to know what's coming. He's watching it play out. You ever been in that moment? You know something's coming, and it's not going to be good. You know? We're waiting for that diagnosis. Our partner has said they're not happy in the relationship anymore, and they need to talk. Your boss says there's going to be layoffs. We won't know till next week who's going. You send Judas off to do what he's going to do. And then you know what happens? The internal awfulizing begins, right? And one of the most poignant moments for me in this Easter story is the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus had his moment there. I can relate to his angst. You know, he asked the disciples to stay awake with him, but they all fall asleep. They just don't get what's coming. So he has to be all alone with his fears. Have you ever been all alone with your fears? You ever felt that way? Nobody really understands what you're going through right now, you know? I once heard a young man in the 90s speak about, he had HIV, and he spoke about what it was like to be infected with that disease. and it moved me to tears as I got a real clear understanding of the sense of isolation that he felt, the shame, the feeling of being held at arm's length by everybody, you know, being treated with contempt. And my heart just ached for him. I really felt it. In the prisons where I've done volunteer work, I have heard story after story from men who have felt nothing but fear and isolation their entire lives, who've had abuse and neglect. And that in no way excuses the crime, but it does show me the importance of loving and supporting one another when we are in this process of transformation. Do you see? So the question is this: how can we help each other to resurrect? How can we do that? How can we support each other with compassion and caring as we actualize our divine potential? And along with holding another's hand as we walk through that hallway, we hold the vision too of those imaginal selves transforming. That's the real kindness that we can do with each other. That's the value of spiritual community, because we're all on this heroic journey through the hallway together. So there's Jesus all alone, face to face with his fears, and he uttered some famous words. Of course, the disciples were all asleep. I always wondered who reported on this. That's why I take these stories metaphysically rather than literally. But this scripture says, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." Have you ever wanted to pass the cup? I'll pass on this one, thanks. When we face a difficult challenge, we might fight it kicking and screaming. But what we resist persists. And non-resistance is actually the strong thing to do. But to surrender to God's will, it's not like a fatalistic resignation to some outer power outside myself, thinking I have no choice. It's God's will. No. It's an alignment with the greater mind within me, allowing the divine to move through me, bring forth the good inherent in the situation, because it's there. But we have to get to that place of surrender. I remember very clearly a surrendering moment in my life when I finally accepted that my mother was dying. She'd been battling cancer for 4 years, and she was so feisty, my mother. For that 4 years, all she kept saying was, "I'm not going anywhere." And it seemed like she was just telling the universe, "Don't even think it. I'm not going." But now I saw that the disease had just progressed too far, that she was too ill. She was too weak. She lost her resolve, her will to live. And I realized in a moment that she wasn't going to make it and probably wouldn't last the summer. And when I finally faced the reality of what was happening and had that dawning realization, I broke down and I sobbed for a long time. I remember just coming to my knees and just sobbing for what seemed like hours. And it was cathartic. When I was finished with that, I could breathe. And I stopped trying to fix it. See, up until then, my poor mother, I was inundating her with research and books, and here's something you could do. I stopped. Stop. Just stop. I stopped resisting it. And I faced what was happening with acceptance and surrender, and I felt a peace and a calmness and a strength that I had not felt before. It rose up within me. It lifted me and it carried me through her final weeks. Was it easy? No. Did I want her to go? No. But fighting against it was causing me intense pain. Intense pain. And when I finally surrendered to what was happening and allowed spirit into my heart, the pain had somewhere to move. It was like a spaciousness rose up and carried me. We all have that power within us. All of us. that can help us to walk through those times of sorrow. And through communing with the Spirit within him, Jesus was able to meet his greatest challenge with non-resistance. But he had his moment of saying, I don't want this. You know, we go through that. It's part of the process. I don't want this relationship to end. I don't want to lose my job. I don't want to have this illness. I don't want her to die. It's important to be authentic in processing that part of the hallway experience, you know? Let this cup be taken from me. But what this story tells us is that the way out of the tomb entails getting beyond the resistance and surrendering to the greater power within us. And if we just stop trying to control things and allow the power that creates and sustains the universe to work out the details, we'll be amazed at what we get. And it's through connecting with the source within us that we meet our challenges in life as we step out on our spiritual destiny. That's what it is. And we are not alone in the hallway. A Course in Miracles, some of the most beautiful words in the Course in Miracles. If you knew who walked beside you on this path you've chosen, fear would be impossible. Just let those words sink into your heart. If you knew who walked beside you. So an important step in being released from the hallway is surrender to the greater mind within. Surrender, hand it over, come to a place of acceptance of what is. As Byron Katie says, when I argue with reality, I lose, but only 100% of the time. At any given moment, you have the power to say, this may be what happened, but this is not how this story is going to end. Do you see that? Yes. I'm not doomed to be stuck in this hallway forever. Accepting what is means getting to a place of this relationship has ended, or I have this illness, or I've lost my job, or my mother is dying. Now what? Now what? I trust in the power of Spirit to lift me, to carry me through this loss, and then rest in this unitive mystery of the divine presence. And then I listen to what my heart's telling me. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. And we move from focusing on the problem to focusing on Spirit. Do you feel the difference in that? Really? And acceptance and surrender supply the helium that lifts us up, helps us to rise up and walk through that hallway, to get to the threshold of the new door, to roll the stone away. Accepting what is, letting go of having to control it. You see, being willing to follow its guidance and grow into who we have come here to be. John 12:24, words attributed to Jesus during the Last Supper. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And I love this scripture. The metaphysical meaning here is, in order to grow, we have to surrender our perceived limitations, our self-concepts. We have to let go of the limited self to become so much more. Do you see that? The belief that my job is my source, or that I am not whole and complete without this relationship. We have to die to who we think we are in order to blossom into something greater. The acorn has to die to its form in order to grow into the tree. And to be most creative and productive in life, we have to lose our limited selves, feel the divine presence rise up within us. And this growth happens to us naturally throughout our lives. If you look at a baby, baby loses itself as it becomes a toddler and then a child and then an adolescent, a teenager, on to an adult. If you look at a picture of yourself as a baby and ask, where did he or she go? Well, that baby's transformed. It's not recognizable as an infant anymore. A grain of wheat dies and bears much fruit. So rise up and walk. Are you ready to rise up and walk? Yes. Rise up from whatever crucifixion experience you're going through. No matter where you are in your process, it's always now. Do you see that? It's always a starting point for something greater to come forth. And know that you're not alone, that your time in the hallway is not forever, that you have the power within you right now to surrender to the truth of who you are, to align with the power of God, and to grow into who you've come here to be. Isn't that cool?
Yes.
Next week at our Easter service, we will hear from two people from our congregation who have walked through their crucifixion experiences, and they will be sharing with us how they emerged from the hallway. So stay tuned for that one, and God bless.